Hey, I'm Mark.
And I'm Teresa. Come hang out with us today.
On my Fix It Up Life.
Looking for a no-hassles roof for your home? DaVinci Roofscapes offers affordable slate and shake roofing tiles that add long-term beauty to your home. The synthetic DaVinci tiles resist mold, algae, fungus, and insects. Backed by a 50-year warranty, DaVinci Roofs are fire-resistant and withstand severe weather like high winds and hail. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles to not only protect but enhance the beauty of their home. Learn more about award-winning DaVinci products at DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624 today.
Oh, I hear it, Mark.
It's a pop song.
Oh,
it's bringing it strong.
The thunder is coming, and you know what? The thunder came today for you, who I have to say I'm surprised. There it is. I'm surprised that you are totally on trend. You're trending on Twitter.
Excuse me. Laying back.
Not Mark Clement.
I'm not trending.
Okay, you're always a trendsetter, because that's really...
Trending on Twitter, blue V-neck shirt.
Tyler Whistler would not agree with you about being on... Well, maybe. I don't know. We're talking to him in a couple days.
He's a tastemaker.
So, the Ice Bucket Challenge. Mark was nominated for the Ice Bucket Challenge, and he accepted today, and he did it. So we
did it.
Sharing that video on our Instagram account. You guys can check it out.
Yes, and I also want to throw out a shout-out to thank you for nominating me, Nick Naz. I nominated a couple people.
Who'd you nominate?
I nominated Kevin O'Connor.
Yeah.
John Colinari.
Yeah.
Devlin the Grundy.
You nominated four people?
Four people.
Is that, there like a rule to that?
But I want to bring up a fifth person who raised a really good point.
What's that?
On Facebook, Anthony Carino.
Yes.
Anthony Carino says, you know what? We get it. We know. Write a check. Donate some time. Save the water and donate that to someone who needs the water like the Red Cross. I'm all about it, man.
You know what? That's actually really smart. You should do the Ice Bucket Challenge and then, like, do it so you can save the water below you, or you should bring some soap with you. Or you do it over your flowers or your vegetables that you're growing in your own dirt in your yard, because you're saving all kinds of stuff when you're doing your own vegetables. And we have someone that is here with us that knows a lot about the outdoors and food. And I wore my picnic shirt today.
Well, you wore a picnic blanket.
Because I... Blanket?
That's the pattern.
No, it's not. It's gingham. I call it my Marianne shirt, and I'm very excited to talk to Gary from Cooking Outdoors. How are you?
Very good, Teresa. Thank you. I'm Mark.
Hey, Gary. It's always great to talk to you, Grill Jedi.
Grill Jedi.
Wow. You guys, once again, flatter me too highly.
What? Jedi Grill I am.
He is sitting in front of a black curtain. Very ominous.
No, Jedis aren't ominous. They're the
He's
good.
Not? He's a good guy?
Good guys.
Jerry. I don't know anything about this stuff.
We
have a five-year-old, Jack, and he's always trying to teach me who are the good guys and who are the bad guys. Because in my world, I only consume media that makes me happy. There are no bad guys.
Go.
I don't like the bad guys. There's enough of them in the world.
I only 30. Consume food that makes me happy as well. And I'm talking about meat. Lots of them.
Mark is a meatitarian.
Okay.
Forget carnivore.
And as far as Grill Jedi goes, we can talk about if you cut the meat with a lightsaber or not later. But before we preheat the grill and do all that stuff that we'll get to, what about buying it?
Buying it, yeah.
Do you go to the grocery store? Do you go to a butcher shop? What's your advice?
Yes to both, but I do prefer, if I'm going to be buying meat or any product like that, I prefer a butcher shop for multiple reasons. You're going to get the cut you want. You're going to get some really detailed information. I really enjoyed looking at the selections. You know, quite often they have a big tray laid out right there, and you can talk to the butcher on the spot about it. One of the things that I like picking up is the homemade sausages that a lot of butchers will produce. And they make them right there. Now, no preservatives, no funny stuff in there. I mean, it's fresh, it's tubed out, and ready to go right there. So some big wins.
I love that.
That's a really smart thing. And it's funny to me, though, thinking about the history of how we acquire food and how it used to be you would have to go to a different market to get everything that you needed. So you'd go to a place to get your bread, and you go, and then they combined it all in the supermarket. And now people, it seems like it's a trendy thing to go and get your bread at a different place, you know, go to a bakery, go to, you know, and get everything at different locations again. I think that's kind of cool.
Is that trendy, or is that for people who aren't busy? Just checking.
Well, quality-wise, though, I think that's what it is. It's about quality, because people that are specializing in whatever it is. What do you think?
Exactly. You're going to people that specialize in that product. And, you know, in many European countries, they buy for that day, that day's meal. You know, we buy for a week or 2 weeks and 3 weeks. So, you know, what's better, storing it or getting it fresh? I think going fresh is always best.
Wow.
I think fresh is best, because then you're not throwing it away. I don't know what the statistics are, but I've read it time and time again, the amount of food that we throw away because we just, like, buy, overbuy, and then forget we have, and then we end up going out to dinner or whatever it is and not using the food that we plan to use. So,
right.
That's why I buy everything in a box and a can. Thanks for joining us, Gary.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we're coming upon the major tailgating season, and I think of football as like the big leagues of tailgaters, and you're going out and people are doing backyard tailgating. We talked to the editor of Tailgater Monthly, Lee Hurley, and he was like, you know, that is the thing that everybody seems to be doing now. You know, it's just like the staycations. People are spending more time at home. So what would really knock the socks off of all of our guests this fall if we made this, whatever it is, for our friends? No pressure.
Well, yeah, none whatsoever. First off, we like to call it homegating.
Okay.
So that's the term for when you do it at home. I'd like to produce things that you can add to it. Now, a perfect example would be hot dogs. You know, everybody just slaps a little mustard and a little relish, and here's your hot dog and your chips and your beer. But what if you take and added some creativity to that and make hot dog sandwiches? For instance, make a breakfast dog. Okay, you add some eggs, you add some cheese, some salsa. You can go and make a Philadelphia cheese sandwich hot dog. You can make a Mexican style with some jalapenos in there and some salsa. And so the gist of that is that you take your hot dog and your bun and you present it, and then you have various different toppings people can put on there to make different style hot dogs. That works great with sausages also.
I think you shared some photos of some really cool sausage extraordinary delights that we posted up on our social networking and stuff. And it's extraordinary what you can do with just a little bit of time and imagination to make it from...
to the super simple.
What you call like the sewer dogs.
Dirty water.
Yeah. Dirty water dog, sorry. Dirty water. Someone else calls them a sewer dog. What you buy off the street in the city.
Remember when she said earlier that none of her stories have unhappy people in them?
They're not unhappy.
I'm the unhappy person in all of them. Seriously.
But dirty water dogs is kind of the same thing
never
as the sewer dog.
You've attributed that to me over the years because I guess you think I'm homeless.
You're not homeless. Because you buy them off the street.
Okay,
you don't beg for them off the street.
So let's go for the other end. If I wanted, as a non-veggie burger eater...
Wait, veggie burger?
Veggie burger. As a non-veggie burger eater...
Okay.
Can you give me $20 if I get through a whole fall?
But if I've ever seen Mark eat a veggie burger, I'd probably have to lay down.
Same question. Butcher shop, or is there such a thing as a veggie burger shop, or what's the play there for the best?
Well, not where I live, certainly. There's no veggie burger opportunities there, fresh made, or any stores that produce them. They're all frozen in a box and such. I'm not saying they're bad or anything. But if I was to cook a veggie burger, I would make it from scratch. I mean, there's so many great recipes out there. And again, going back to fresh, you know, why buy it frozen when you can just for, you know, half a dozen ingredients make a fresh veggie burger? Why not?
I like that. Oh, and then I'm thinking about, like...
Do you have to freeze it and then put it in a box so it tastes right?
Really?
I do. Yeah, that's just me, though.
Oh, Fresh and frozen. Okay, you got both of them
fresh
together
frozen.
There. Fresh frozen.
Fresh frozen and boxed up new.
Okay, so what about the kids that don't do veggie burgers, that don't eat hot dogs or anything like that? We, our son is a grilled cheeseman. Now, what would you do? What does the grilled cheese play for a home gate? Party.
Well, there you go. Again, grilled cheese is a perfect example of things that you could add to it and build from there. I mean, you take some grilled cheese. I don't know if kids would like it, but you could add portobello mushrooms to it. You could add some red peppers to it. You can just keep building upon the basic concept of toast and cheese.
Okay.
Different types of cheese, different types of things to build on. You get a nice griddle out there. People bring you their sandwich that they've built, you put it on the griddle, you press it down, you cook it for them, you give it back to them, and everybody's happy. So the kids that just like plain toast and cheese, they're taken care of. Those that are adventurous, they're taken care of.
I like that.
So grill tech question.
Okay.
When it comes to those foods that aren't porterhouse steak, pork loin, hot dog, hamburger, like the grilled cheese that we're talking about, do you add something to your grill, like you just mentioned a griddle in this case? Like, do you have to, or can you throw? I imagine a grilled cheese being a little tough to manage on the grill grate.
It's a super thick piece of bread.
Right.
Yeah, unless you're cooking it on a brick.
Right. Well, and you can. Don't think that you can't. But, yeah, I don't put grilled cheese sandwiches on grates. I mean, I've tried it. It tends to, the bread tends to stick. It tends to burn easier, so a layer between it. But a skillet works just fine. If you don't have a griddle or an island grill stone or a, you know, blah, 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 you don't have any of that, then just put a good old skillet on the grill. Works fabulous.
I don't think a lot of people think of that I can just, you know,
I would melt the handle off. If it's a plastic handle.
But you can get them with
Yeah, you have to check to make sure it's oven safe. You know, you just can't do anything. But again, with the grill, you can cook with the lid open and have the pot on the grill and the handle sticking out and away from it. You can do that.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
All I took away from that is do anything. Got it. Writing it down.
Okay, so I'm going back. I'm going back to kids and bite-sized food, because at any kind of backyard party for us, if the kids aren't happy, that means that the party's over. So keeping them, like, well-fed and having a good time, but not, like, ODing on sugar, because sugar
right.
is a quick happy, and then everyone's unhappy really fast.
All the time.
So small sizes, like the little sliders and stuff like that, that we see are popular. Are those still trendy? Are people still like getting excited
very much
about them?
Trendy. No. The little sliders are big, and they will continue to go so, because you can be so creative with it. Again, you can go to a veggie slider, you can go to a pork slider, you can go to beef slider, hamburger sliders with all these different flavors and toppings. One thing I want to throw out, though, that I have used successfully is I made what I called a burgerito. And you take a hamburger patty and you shape it into a little log, if you will, and then you can wrap that up in a tortilla, right? And then add your flavors in there.
Oh.
And, you know, because kids like to hold things that are unique, right? And you can cut little pieces and bite-sized pieces out of that.
I might need to cry for a little while, Gary, because
that's a pizza sandwich.
I now
which
have
which is really a calzone, but
it's boiled down to a single food group for me, and it's that
burgerito.
Burgerito.
I think that is the smartest thing I've heard all day, and I did hear
Thank
something
you.
Else smart today that was about food, and this is a dessert item, which is apple. Was it apple pie? It was pie in a jar, which is a great.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
One moment.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
I think pie in a jar is a great idea. It makes it so portable.
Fine.
You bake it right in the jar.
We're gonna need another ice bucket challenge.
Yeah, he's gonna need
mess.
Another ice bucket. They do cake in a jar.
Yeah.
You know, so you can do all those things right in a jar. Strawberry sundae is fabulous. Strawberry shortcake in a jar is great.
Okay, speaking of fruit. Now, do you ever incorporate fruit into what you're cooking outdoors?
Oh, quite often. If I'm not making a, shrimp and watermelon, people don't think of that. But grilled shrimp and watermelon is absolutely fantastic. So I would use a lot of fruit on kebab items. or I'll do fruit separately. Sauces you can add fruit into. I love blueberry barbecue sauce, one of my favorites, so I use that a lot. And, of course, you want to make that from scratch. When you're doing desserts, you want to make, you know, fruit dessert, which whatever. Grill your fruit for that. So, yeah, fruit's a big part of my grilling repertoire, if you will.
I think that's really such a cool thing because, like, I actually – I'm a pesca vegan is what I call myself. And so I always try to be a little bit of creative when I'm making things, like trying to use tempeh and stuff like that. And I add fruit, and sometimes it doesn't really go so well. And sometimes it's really awesome.
Like that time I crock-potted salmon and baked beans.
Oh.
Horrible.
No.
But that's just, how do you grill fruit?
Oh, in its simplest method, you take fresh whole fruit. You don't want it real soft. You want it, when you buy fruit, you want to smell it, and you take a peach, and if it smells peachy, then that's ready to go, but it still needs to be firm. Wash it real good, cut it in half, pit it out, put a light coating of oil either on your fruit or on your grape, your choice, but very light. Put it on a grate that's been preheated for a good 10 minutes on medium to medium high heat, gas or charcoal, and you're just going to put it on there for roughly 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, depending on the heat, and you're going to take that off. It's going to have these beautiful grill marks. It's going to be caramelized. And then what I do, you don't have to do that, is I sprinkle a little cinnamon sugar on it.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
She did.
I was on the edge of my seat waiting for you to say cinnamon sugar. Okay, let's
I don't want to encourage bad habits, so.
But on the other end of the spectrum, cooking with beer. Now, what kinds of beer are good for cooking outdoors, and, you know, what do you look for in a good beer-meat combination?
I think a better way to ask that is, how do you not drink at all?
Well, first off, when you cook with beer, you buy more than you're going to cook with. I mean, hello. That's a no-brainer. you could do – there's no – that I've found, there's no bad beer to cook with. All of them have flavor pairings that will work fine with something. You can marinate your meats in the beer. You can make sauces with the beer. You can make sides with the beer. You can cook it in the beer. You can make beer bread to serve alongside of it. You obviously can drink it that way. So it's endless, and it would be impossible in the scope of this conversation to even slight scratch into it, because it's just huge. Beer has so many flavors and so many profiles. It's amazing. I love it for a marinade. You can baste with beer. You know, if you got a rack of ribs there, you can take your rub. You can add it with a little beer. You can use that as your baste as the ribs are cooking.
I think that there might be some people that are watching this that all they hear is beer, beer, beer. And they're like, oh, salivating a little bit.
Yeah, pop one open for us, buddy.
So, Gary, in the 2 minutes that we have left, I have – it's not an ice bucket challenge, but it is a challenge, a cooking challenge. How would you fix Mark's salmon and baked beans that he made? He only used two things, salmon –
I had veggies in there, too. It was terrible.
You had broccoli, I think. Salmon, broccoli, and baked beans. How could that be fixed?
And broccoli?
Yeah.
Really?
I cooked them in a crock pot. It was not one of my shining moments of creativity.
In two minutes or less, I would say don't do it.
Does salmon and baked beans ever go well together?
I think they could if it was a fairly mild bean. I would take a skillet. I would put the beans in the bottom of it. I put my salmon on the top of it, and then I would bake it in the grill with a nice complimentary rub on the salmon. So if you have barbecue beans, you want to use a brown sugar with some powdered mustard, maybe some cayenne on the salmon, and just bake it like that. That will help prevent getting a big soupy mess.
That's what I would do.
That's
really what it was. That's it was disgusting. And he was committed because he made it. He ate all of it.
I was invested in that.
Well, the problem with the crock pot is it's going to get soggy. If you were to put it in a casserole dish where the air would have had a chance to bake the salmon properly and get a crust on it, if you will, the beans would have crusted over. I think you would have had some texture in there that you would have enjoyed, too.
Well,
Well, I think Dairy House is kind of like the food doctor. So you got to go to cooking-outdoors.com and follow him on all the social networks, because we do, because you'll get inspired and you will totally impress all of your friends at any backyard gathering.
Especially tailgating.
Yes.
Especially home gating. So thank you for joining us, and watch this interview on YouTube.
Thanks, guys.
I will. Thanks, guys.